Wow, greetings, and good to see all these amazing faces and stories behind the faces. Like, we've been on the journey in our Christian faith, and we've seen the faithfulness of God over and over again, and it's just so good to be back, and wow, I got like a million things I'm thinking about. So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless this portion from your word. We pray that it would minister to our heart, it would really speak to us, it would instruct us and give us encouragement and hope in these days. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just so thankful for this church, so thankful for my pastor, Pastor Schaller, and It's just been amazing. I mean, I immediately start thinking of when I was in Bible school and I got a call from Finland, and I just said, "Wow, how can I get a call from Finland? Who's in Finland?" I'm nobody. I'm just a student in school, and Pastor Schaller's on the phone. "Hey, Pastor Roger, how you doing? How's things going? How's your wife?" And I'm like, "Wow, I can't believe I got a call from Finland." And here it is many years later. And many people have invested in our lives, and we've been given much. So I want to talk about just quickly three things. I want to talk about a net, a snare, and a way of escape. And I'd like you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Because we live in an interesting day, don't we? It's we could all talk about what's going on in the world and what we see happening. And we also understand that we're in a particular hour in human history. And the Bible helps us to have a motivation of God's Spirit, His love in us, and a purpose in these days. And I've been following the life of Jesus. I like how he, when he did his first miracle, he said to his mother, he said, "My hour is not come." And then later, they tried to push him over a cliff, and it says that his hour had not come. But then finally, he said, "My hour has come. And how shall I pray? Shall I pray, deliver me from this hour?" And without even a break, it says, "No, for this hour I was born." And that's been in my mind, and I read this verse, and I think it's beautiful for the day that we live in. It's in Ecclesiastes 9:12. It says, "For a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them." And I've been thinking about this net and this snare. There's a difference between the two. A net gathers many in as the fishes are caught in it all at once. And there are nets in this world that are gathering many and destroying many and leading many aside. There is a net of politics. There's an internet. There's a net of philosophies of this world system and so many things that can be focused on, many voices coming into the ear. And then there is a snare. The difference between a net and a snare is a snare just gathers one at a time. And it's interesting how I met a guy. My wife and I were eating at Panera Bread yesterday, and this man overheard our conversation. We were talking about Pastor Bob Colbin's message on outreach. It was so awesome. And I was sharing it with my wife, and I was kind of loud about it, and he heard it. He got a little bit upset, and not at me, but things going on in the world, and he wanted to vent it out. And he basically is like one who is caught in a snare and in a net. Even when sharing the gospel, he couldn't step out of the focus that there is a heaven and a hell and a salvation. And but the other things were more important, the things that he's logically looked at that were wrong in the world. And to try and encourage his mind to think beyond that into the purpose of God. Anyway, God hasn't left us in this condition as people that would be caught in a net and a snare, but he has given us a way of escape. And that's been the focus in my heart recently. I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has come to you that is not common unto man, that he would not provide a way of escape. But what is the way of escape? That word way, it's mentioned in the Greek like one time in all of the Bible. It's a unique word. It actually means a precept or a precept given in the local assembly meeting, a specific word that came from God to the people of God. And we hear it, and we mix faith with it, and it provides for us ability through Christ to escape many things. And I like this verse. It's in Psalm 73, and it says this. And I can just, you know, do you put yourself in the shoes of the people that write the Bible? It's healthy. Yeah, we want to be in the hero's shoes, but sometimes you need to be in the victim's shoes. And it'll teach you something. Like I can learn from people who have fallen into trouble because I'm so good at it at times. And so it says this here in verse 2 of Psalm 73. But it, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And have you ever fallen? Like physically, but also spiritually? I think we could say we all have. And we know what that's like. And what is the way of escape? Well, look at this here. It says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I. I love those words. Then understood I. It's in the sanctuary, the gathering of God's people, that understanding is given. A way of escape is given. And I was thinking of like 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's at the very end. It says that there is a more excellent way. And we learn about what is that more excellent way? Well, the love of God is the more excellent way. The grace of God is a more excellent way. The mercy of God is a more excellent way. The body of Christ is a more excellent way. Gathering together all the more as you see the day approaching is a more excellent way. There is a way that God has given us. He has not left us in the world with nets and snares to victimize us, but he has given us a way of escape. He has set the church as a light on a hill. He has put in our hearts his spirit, and he has given us such amazing purpose. And I like Psalm 77:13. It says, my way is in the sanctuary. It's a beautiful place to be. The church is God's jewel on the earth. It is his bride. And I never knew a husband that didn't love the bride. And Jesus Christ is an amazing husband to his church. He ministers to us. He gives everything through his spirit to us. And we have a way of escape. And it's not only a way of escape, but it's a purpose and a victory to walk in it and to be very bold in these days because God speaks to the church. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Okay, so praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just get real, like, worship. And I know we are that way, but I mean, I'm just wanting to start the message with just, you know, just Lord, the Lord, honoring him and just praising him. And we see Jesus. Wasn't Pastor Roger's words, weren't they good? Wow. I said to him, you're really learning a lot out on the mission field. Like, you're rich, you've got a lot of treasure in your heart, and you're learning. It's great. It's amazing. We hear it. We always have, but, I mean, it was awesome. All right, so do you remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he said, the spirit is willing, and what was the rest of it? The flesh is weak. Yeah. The spirit is willing. Do you think he is? What is the spirit willing? What do you think he's willing to do? What do you think? Willing for what? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he was talking about prayer, I think, in that context, right? What, could you not pray with me, or wake up and be with me in my temptation? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's on my mind. Just one thought that we'll use later. All right, so here we are. Praise God. Father, we pray that you would refresh us and see that we would be stirred in our hearts like we have been by listening and receiving this morning. Thank you for bringing people here. Thank you for the banquet house, the banquet, and the banner over us is love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Another point maybe will come up in the message is about a brother in the book of Acts in 18 at the end. His name is Apollos. And there's, I think, four things we could say about him. I just want to use it as just to provoke you and I before we get started here in a meditation. It's Acts 18. And verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So I want to make I think I have four things about him. He was an eloquent man. Okay, eloquent. Does that mean he was good with words? He was articulate, he was a capable communicator, so he had that going for him. Number two, he was mighty in the scripture. Mighty in the scripture. And what does that mean? We wonder, right? Did he know the Bible well? It seems that's what it would mean. He was mighty in scripture. He was a Jew, learned the Bible, the Old Testament from childhood, memorized it, was fluent in it, could talk, and to express himself with the scripture. Third thing is here, verse 25. The man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit. So he was taught as a believer, but limited. He was taught and he was fervent in spirit. It seems like he would be quite a special guy, fervent in spirit. Like, maybe it would mean that he was a motivated person, he was passionate, he was fervent in spirit. Notice it doesn't have a capital S there, as in the Holy Spirit, but he was a passionate, active, like, capable guy who was really, could be very useful. And he spake, verse 25, and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there is a profile of him, but there was something lacking. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So let's put here number four. He had a need. He had a need, right? And what was his need? It was to go to MBCNS, Bible College. Again, what do I mean by that? Did he know the finished work? Did he understand grace? Did he need to know more in regards to the love of God? There are many passionate, fervent, articulate people that also need help in understanding more deeply what this is about. Because our persuasion is not persuasion of men. It's by the work of the Spirit. It's the anointing of God and the grace of God that teaches me first my identity and grace and finished work. And the Spirit is willing, the Holy Spirit is willing to reveal to the believer God's nature, God's grace, God's love. Did Apollos know it? I think Aquila and Priscilla were in the synagogue and they listened to him and they were saying, you know, this guy could really be used of God, but we need to bring him home. And we need to spend time with him and we need to talk to him. Because, you know, he doesn't understand so well. He needs to understand it more perfectly. Look at verse 27. And when he was disposed to, remindly convince the Jews, verse 26, did I say, or where he began to speak boldly, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass in Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He was able to teach and teach grace. So this is what I want to say this morning, a few things. And turn with me, please, to Proverbs 10. So, the theme or the message I have this morning that I want to share with you is love is a covering. Okay. Love. What love does to us when we realize who we are because of God's love? The Spirit is willing. Yes, He will. He wants to lead us in prayer. Spirit is willing. Spirit is willing to reveal grace to us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Spirit is willing to serve and teach us what it is to be served, to be a servant, but to be served. Verse 12 of Proverbs 10, hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Some Christians approach the Christian faith by way of duty, and they feel, first of all, they need to have a life of devotion dedication, duty, but actually the Christian life is more about being loved. The Spirit wants to teach me love deep inside in my heart when my life is a lot of trouble. I have a piece here. When you are disappointed with yourself, has that happened to you? It has happened to me. Have you been discouraged? Maybe confused, maybe attacked by demons, very discouraged, maybe proud, blind. All of this happens to us. But I think when Apollos was teaching and they heard him, they realized that he actually needs a better understanding. He needs something better. He's strong. He's knowledgeable. He's strong. He's smart. But there's a better way, a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, love. God is love. The church is a place where there is a dinner with herbs. That is a proverb, isn't it? Turn there with me to that one. I think it's 16. No. Is it 15? Proverbs 15. Yeah, 15, 17. Proverbs 15, 17. Better is a dinner of herbs. Convention is a dinner of herbs. Well, Kathy Ryan would say, not if you go down to my booth, it isn't. But it is, this convention is, in a sense, a dinner of herbs. That's like inferior food. That's the idea of you know, eating grass or something. That's the idea. It's compared to a banquet with a stalled ox, right? That in the verse 15, 17. Where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Spirit is willing. What does it mean? That he reveals love. But it might not be looking so pretty. It might not be so tantalizing to our flesh. Our flesh is weak. In our flesh, we would like the comfort. But where love is, there may not be comfort, but there is righteousness there. The Spirit of truth. There is faith at that dinner table. There is belief that even though it's bad, God is good. God is grace. God loves me. God is for me. The Spirit is willing to reveal to the church who God is. But it'll be a dinner with herbs. But righteousness is there. And God is saying, I love you. You see, it looks like the world is deceived and being deceived more and more. By the way, some of these lust patterns that people are living in and are being promoted and encouraged, they become insatiable desires that'll never be satisfied. It's like a stalled ox, but there's hatred there. And these insatiable desires are like, well, child trafficking and hatred and the critical race theory, in a word, is teaching that white people are bad people. White people are bad people. Yeah, white people are bad people. They're supremacists. They're evil people. White people are evil people. Do you believe that? Yes, we're being taught this is the way it, this is what we believe. Well, that's what the communists said about capitalists. Are capitalists evil people? Maybe, sometimes. Are white people evil people? Maybe, sometimes. But that's like a stalled ox dinner where there is hatred. I don't want to sit at a table where there is hatred. I don't believe that you can say white people are evil people because many reasons, and one of them, Martin Luther King said it in his dream speech. I have a dream that a man will not be judged by the color of his skin, right? But by his character. Well, Spirit is willing to teach me doctrine and establish me. And I will not believe a lie. I don't want to believe any lies. I want to walk with God. And the Spirit is willing and wanting to do it. And he does it. What will happen when we sit at this table? There's a dinner of herbs. There's not much there. Maybe some of you remember, maybe in a poverty or in a poor place, but there was a lot of love from your mother, your brothers, your sisters. You made it work. You had a song, the Song of Songs, the Bible Song of Solomon is a song of love. And in that book, it's a song. It's a song. You see, a Christian has a song, not just words. The Spirit is willing to give me a song in the night. The Spirit is willing to teach me to be quiet and not complain, but to be thankful for everything. The Spirit is willing to teach me not to gossip and talk about people, anything about people, unless it is edifying and encouraging. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are prone to sin. Our soul cleaves to the dust. We are prone to complain, to get discouraged, and then interpret the Christian life like this. The reason I'm depressed is because I don't pray enough. I don't do my duty. I am not a good Christian. I am discouraged by it. Oh, whoa, wow. All the teaching that I heard, it just buries me in my guilt and in my despondency. The flesh does that. That's not God. That's not God. God isn't like that. God shows up and he quickens us, loves us, says we are accepted, tells us to rest, relax, respond to his love. I love you. That's Song of Solomon. I love you. Sit under the apple tree. I love you. And she said, I am black but comely. And he said, but then he counters and said that you are beautiful. I am for you and not against you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I draw you with the cords of a man. We have those words there in Hosea. Let's turn there and we will look at that, please. It's Hosea 11:4. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Just remember those words. Spirit is willing. What do you mean he's willing? He wants to love you. He wants to love you. He wants to serve you, wash your feet. He wants to encourage you, speak to you. I think during the convention, we're going to be with each other, and we'll be listening, and we want to hear what does the Spirit say. We want to hear what does love say. Love is a covering for me for my future. Love is a covering for me in how I handle my things in life. Hosea 11:4, I drew them with cords of a man. This is, we have here tacklings, bands, cords, okay, a rope, a cord, a measuring cord, or a line. I drew them with, I like the idea of a rope drawing, God drawing, taking and drawing. And I was to them, it says, with bands of love, chapter 11, verse 4. Bands of love, that's cords, rope, chains, wreathen, branches, interwoven foliage. Let's see. I will draw them. Why are we drawn to Jesus? I think when he talks, it's the Spirit speaking. And that Spirit draws me. When we are with Jesus and he's just kind of walking around and being in the, we see him in the Gospels, and we are drawn to him by the anointing on his life, encouraged, comforted with bands of love. The dinner of herbs, yes, but his words are words of love. There's a song. The song of songs is a love song. That great song, I think of word in a song, you have words and then music. I think of words and music like the Spirit. The Spirit, the words and the Spirit. The words and the Spirit of the words. The singing of the words. That's why if a church doesn't have a song, then does it have love? But when there's love, there's a song. And we are filled with the Spirit speaking to ourselves and singing because God is for us and he has saved us and draws us to himself with this great grace. Then one last one is 14:4. I will heal their backslidings, talking about Israel. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will heal their backslidings. What could heal my backsliding? Love. Love. The flesh is drawn to the form, and the Spirit is drawn to God. And to freedom and worship and faith and love. Love changes people. The church is a place where there's a song, there's a dinner with herbs, because we're not tantalizing or provoking people in the flesh or meeting their fleshly need, but speaking the truth in love and being built up in who we are in Christ. What happens when somebody is built up in love? Then in their darkest hour, they can't quit because love never fails. Also, they learn how to develop those habits of thinking which are pure, which are godly, without jealousy, without envy, without bitterness, without betrayal. We were talking the other day about this counselor of David. His name was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was such a great counselor. He was so wise that when people listened to him during the time of David, it said that he spoke like the oracles of God. But under pressure and with the opportunity, he betrayed David and he went with Saul. And we were talking about how a man could be very eloquent, like Apollos. He could be very persuasive. He could be very passionate, but still not understand the true, deep, amazing nature of the living God. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He cannot do anything but draw you with his love and say, sit with me and be with me. I will love you freely. Don't even think about what you got to do for me. You don't do anything for me. Let me love you. I will give you an identity that will not leave you. Listen to this. I will put you as a seal upon my heart. Another way of saying it, which is popular today, is that I will tattoo you on me, and you will be part of me. I am loving you with an everlasting love. I could never lose you. I will never forsake you. You are a seal on my heart. And love is as strong as death, and many waters cannot quench it. And if somebody was to buy this love, the offer would be utterly contemned. We get that word too here. Where is it? It means despised. The offer would be, here it is. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, meaning try to buy it, like buy it, right? Buy the love. This is Father's Day. Can you imagine? So a dad and his child, the child is trying to buy the love. He cannot. If he would offer, it would be utterly contemned, and it's translated despised, hold in contempt, hold is insignificant. Husband and wife, you could never make it better by money. You could never buy it. Christian life, you cannot get it better than what it is because of him, because of the cross. It can't be improved upon. He cannot love you any more than he loved you from the beginning in eternity, eternally and perfectly, completely and totally. I love you with an everlasting love. What does this mean? I want to find that love on the earth in God's people. I want to hear about it in testimony. I want to hear about it in the mouths of people. I want to hear about grace. I want to hear about forgiveness. I want to find it. One last proverb, and it goes this way. If I am with a foolish man and I do not... I recognize he's a foolish man, then I depart from him. Let's try to find it. Turn to Proverbs with me. I know where on the page it is, I think. Let's see. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. You go from the presence of a foolish man. What does that mean? I think in our society, there'll be people at work. There'll be people that you might hang out with, and you might be with them, and you may recognize that the man is a foolish man. But Jesus was a friend of sinners and publicans. Yes, he was. But here's the other side of it. It's good instruction. There's a foolish man. If I hang out with him, I might become like him. So I might have to depart from him. It says in verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. He may seduce me. He may, some of that foolishness might rub off on me. I'm going to leave him. I'm leaving him. I'm leaving him. I don't have anything here. I can come back and minister to him. That's true. I can minister to him, but we're not always capable of ministry 100% of the time, all the time. No, I must be ministered to, and I don't need a foolish man to minister to me. He can mislead me. He can lie to me. I need an anointing of God. I need the Spirit of God. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't want to be there. No, I'm leaving it. I'm leaving the presence of a foolish man. I'm not going to be there. I'm leaving that guy. He's not a part of my life. No, I don't have him as a part of my life. I can minister, as I said, but no. What are we talking about today? But there is a banquet. There's a dinner with herbs. It's not much to look at. But wow, it's righteous. God is there. It'll make me a disciple. It'll help me. It'll teach me love. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And I love that about our church. We're with people that stumble and fall. Imperfect people. Somebody said, wow, that church is made up of a lot of messed up people. And I say to them, you should have seen them before they came to the church. It was a lot worse before they came. But they are here. They are here. And the Spirit is willing and He is wanting to lead us and guide us in love. And I'll tell you, we might be messed up somehow, sometimes in different ways, but boy, there's love here. There's love, there's forgiveness, and love covers a multitude of sins and helps us. And we get encouraged and passionate, and we learn the Word of God more accurately. We learn the Word of God not in a religious context, but in a way where anybody and everybody can come and seek Him and find Him and have a changed life. Our lives are changed by Christ. They are changed by love. They are changed by God, the God of love. Remember, Pastor Shabella, you said in 1 John 4, like from 4, 1 John 4, 7 to 1 John 5, 4, love is mentioned 34 times, like in those that section of Scripture. Love is mentioned. God is love. And then it goes through love, agape, 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 34 times, down to, from 1 John 4, 7 down to 1 John 5, 4. 34 times, God is love. Our convention is a feast of love. Our house, let's go unto the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house, because that's where love is, and the Spirit is willing. Let me finish. Okay. Yeah, listen, in a marriage, we discover that love in the Spirit. The flesh is willing. The Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And in my marriage, we both have weak flesh. And we can talk in the flesh. A frog comes out of the mouth. And the frogs are all over in the house. You go in the bathroom in Pharaoh's house. You go in the bathroom, there's frogs there. You go in the cellar, there's frogs there. They're coming out of our mouths, like in the book of Revelation, remember? Out of the king's mouths came frogs, and they were demons. And in a marriage, we are both in the flesh, and frogs are filling our house, and our minds, and our hearts, in our marriage, with our kids, at work, and in our car. Do not fill your car with frogs. Say that after me. Do not fill your car with frogs. Do not fill your life with frogs. Do not gossip, do not criticize, do not judge, and do not live in our flesh. We don't live in our flesh. Spirit is willing. And it's a song. And it touches the heart. Pastor Perkins and I were talking yesterday, and like a tear came to his eye as we were talking. Something touched his heart. It's beautiful. We have a song. We have love. We have brokenness. We are weak, but we are mighty kings. David said, I'm anointed king. Though I am weak, yet I am anointed king. Amen. Okay. Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this meditation this morning and the coming week of fellowship in love. May our marriages be restored, our friendships refreshed after almost 2 years, right? We canceled it last year, so does that make two then? Like one cancellation means 2 years, right? Because we go the whole year canceled and now another year, so 2 years. That's, wow. So, Lord, our seeing each other face to face and our words, our hearts, our faith, our attitude, our mission, our quietness, our rest, our passion for you. Please restore our souls. Please build us up in the faith. Please use us not as foolish people that people would depart from, but David's that people would be drawn to in freshness and in love. Bless our weak mightily, in Christ's name. And then anyone here not a believer, come to Jesus today. Come as you are in your love and your simplicity. Come to Jesus this morning. Come to him now. Please come to Jesus. He loves you. He forgives you. Amen.